Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tally views things a little differently. Just imagine how he looks at hockey. Whoa! This is The View from Vitaly, brought to you by Scott Lee Heating Company, a proud Mitsubishi Electric Elite contractor.
Our analyst for Blues Hockey here on 101 ESPN is Joe Vitaly. There is a JoeVitaly.com, and if you go to this website, you find out that Dr. Joe Vitaly is a world-renowned author, speaker, and coach who helps you manifest anything you want in every area of your life. Joey V, did you know that there was a JoeVitaly.com that can help you manifest anything you want in your life?
Randy, good morning. Matter of fact, I have. He has a very famous line. I'm sure some people can relate. It goes along the lines of something like this. I mean, I'll probably butcher a little bit, but a great goal should excite you a lot and scare you a little. Did I butcher that, or is that pretty bang on?
That's pretty bang on right there, brother. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's the exact verbiage, I guess?
Let me go down to it here. Hold on. I just left the area. I'm sorry, but it's pretty close.
It's pretty close, yeah. So a great goal should excite you a lot and scare you a little. Now, I didn't know that before I had kids. I would almost argue that, you know, having kids should scare you a lot and excite you a little, right?
You nailed it. A goal should scare you a little and excite you a lot.
That's it. So you should have a little bit of fear. You know, I always talk to the young youthful hockey players that I coach around town. I'm at a volleyball tournament for my daughter up in Philadelphia, and, you know, I ask my kids all the time, how you feeling? And they say, I'm really excited, but I'm also a little nervous. And I say, that's perfect, because that means that the goal you're heading into is scaring you just enough where it's big enough.
Joey, I'm looking at the website right now. I don't know how you're able to juggle all of this with hockey and also being a world-renowned doctor. You have great reviews, by the way, but what is your summer about to look like during the off-season now? Busy, I'm sure, with kids.
It's busy, Brooke. You know, there's a Dr. Joe Vitaly. There's also a drummer named Joe Vitaly.
Yeah,
I think he's from like the 70s or the, I don't even know, Randy. He may be more, you may understand the band. I think it was a little bit before my time, but he's got the long curly hair. And so I think if you ever Google my name, I think it comes drummer first, author, and then the little radio guy. I'm usually in the third pecking line. But I tell you what, the summer's on now. People call this time off. This is time on for me. You know, I'm in Philadelphia right now, and we landed at about 3 a.m. right after the Dallas Stars game. I went right over to the airport, hopped on a flight with my daughter to go to Philadelphia. She's got a tournament up here because, you know, as any player will tell you, you know, I think it was a player just the other day. It wasn't Silverberg. Oh, it was Jeff Carter. They asked Jeff Carter, what does your retirement look like? And he said, I'm excited to be a dad, you know, and that's what the off season is for me. It's wrangling all the kids, helping my wife where I can, and just being a part of their lives that you miss so much of. It's a short job when you look at the whole year. It's only, you know, 6-7 months. But it is so packed where you do miss so much. I'm looking forward to catching up with the kiddos.
Hey, Joey, I just want to go back to that quote from the lesser Joe Vitaly for a moment, because there's another motivational speaker talking about goals. His name is Peter LaFleur, and this is what he had to say about goals.
I found that if you have a goal, that you might not reach it. But if you don't have one, then you are never disappointed. And I got to tell you, it feels phenomenal.
Peter LaFleur. Right when you said the name, I knew where this was going.
So you have differing ideas of what goals are.
You know, it's true. It's true. And man, that is a great quote right there. I don't even know how to. There's nothing to say. I mean, there's just nothing to say after that right there. I'm sure that some people relate to that goal a little bit, because you're right. At the end of the day, you don't reach it, there's nothing to feel bad about.
Well, Joey, I'm sure you got something to say about the Blues season. How would you summarize what you saw this year?
You know what, Dan, I tell you what, it was a positive year. And I'm not saying that because, you know, this is the team that has had my back and certainly employs me. I really do. I see the nuts and the bolts and the ins and outs of this group. I've been around them all year. You know, you're looking around the league at a Pittsburgh Penguins team that just missed. They're in trouble. They got old guys. They don't have a goaltender. You know, you're even looking at the teams that did sneak in, the Washington Capitals. Again, what's going to happen in 2 years when Alex Ovechkin moves on? They still have a goaltender situation. TJ Oshie's not getting any younger. You know, some of these teams are they're in bad shape. Look on the flip side, the New Jersey Devils. They just ended up missing this year. They have a massive goaltender problem. So you look at the issues that the St. Louis Blues have. To me, they're fixable, they're correctable, and they can happen almost overnight. You know, you look at them, they did miss, but they have a young core. They had all their young guys, for the most part, take a huge step this year. Robert Thomas is a bona fide number one center in the league now, and his defensive game really surprised a lot of people. You know, you have two goaltenders, maybe the best goaltending tandem in the National Hockey League right next to the Boston Bruins, and that's something that, quite frankly, teams just desperately want so bad. So you look at all the things, you look at the way Zachary Bolduc, to me, has basically put himself in ink on that top six coming into the camp next year. Jake Neighbors, the most improved player, he is now an NHL regular that is going to possibly score 30 goals next year. It's a young group. It is a group up and coming. I think that Braden Shen is going to be one more year seasoned as a captain. I think you bring in a couple of veteran pieces to help Braden out about the culture of this team a little bit. And all of a sudden, I think this is a team that is going to turn this thing around very, very quickly. So for all the reasons noted, yes, you want to get in. You want to sneak in every single year. They were right there to the very end. Game 80, a lot of people wrote them off, I think, about 2 months ago. But they made it to game 80 before they eventually were, you know, removed from the playoff picture. So all things considering, you know, a couple quick fixes, you know, a Kyrou getting a little hotter, a little bit longer next year, maybe a captain and Braden Shen not going through a couple dry spells he went through. And you're winning more games, and you're two or three wins away from sneaking in. So to me, at the end of the day, I think the Blues fans are disappointed, and I totally understand it. But I also look at this team as a very, very bright future ahead.
Hey, Joey V, on Sunday when Chaser was in, and by the way, congratulations, your son had his first communion, is that correct?
Yeah, Bodie, my third son, he made his first communion, so Chaser subbed in really quickly, and I was making a beeline for the third period, and I text him, hey, I'm on my way, and then he called me out on the air when they came out of break and said, hey, I can't believe Joe's coming down curves. Tell him to turn the car around. So I literally flipped the U-ey around, right? I got off at Hampton, went right back to 44 West and jetted back to be with my son. So it was great. But yeah, sorry to interrupt. Yeah, Chaser is filling for me.
No, no problem. One of the things that he said was that this team, and you kind of referenced it there, they need a high character, high production people. And that includes a number two center and a gritty defenseman. And we're not talking about another number one center or 1A, but you need to find that guy that Braden Shen was, and he's got a lot of miles on him. He's older. He's probably not the number two center you're looking for now, but what Braden Shen was 3-4 years ago.
I would 100% agree. And then, yeah, I touched on it briefly, and I back Chaser on that. I think you need, from a defenseman standpoint, you end up losing a Robert Bortuzzo. You know, you bring in, let's say, like a Josh Manson type, you know, for example. I know he's locked up in Colorado, but someone with some grit, someone with some personality. I think this team could use a little personality. I think they lost a little bit with Perron leaving, then, of course, Pat Maroon leaving. You know, I think they can use a little personality, number one. And then the second thing is, yeah, you bring in a solidified veteran player that helps Braden Shen along about, hey, this is the way we play. This is the way we do things. You know, when I was playing, it was Matt Cook. I'll never forget the first optional skate I took when I was 3 years in. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm taking the option. He goes, no, you're not. You're 3 years in the league. Get back out there. Work on something. You know, you need players like that. As much as I hated Matt at the time, you need players like that to kind of help with that culture. This is the way we're going to do things. I think they lost a lot of that culture with Ryan O'Reilly. You know, he was out there all the time wrangling young kids. And Braden Shen's doing the same thing, but he needs a little bit of help. Joe, I think that's where you bring in that centerman.
And, Joe, I don't want to keep going back to the future. We brought back Sundquist. We brought back Blais. And we have these romantic notions about the 2019 team. But Joel Edmondson is a free agent.
Joel Edmondson is a free agent. I would love to see that grittiness back. We'll see how he does in Toronto, number one. And here's another one here for you, Randy, and I really hope it happens, David Perron. I think, you know, his Red Wings, they end up missing. He's a UFA once again. Is it possible that Doug Armstrong signs him one more time? I think that's got to be some sort of record. But that's a personality, a competitive kid that I think we let go, unfortunately, a few years back, and I would love to see him back in a Blues uniform.
What about Drew Bannister? That was another big topic yesterday with the exit interviews and the Blues end-of-season press conference. And obviously, Doug Armstrong mentioning that he is one of the candidates, but it's a very small list. He wouldn't reveal who the others were, of course. What did you think about Drew Bannister and the job that he did stepping in mid-December?
I think Drew did a great job. I think that he was certainly a different voice. I think that the biggest thing he did was he helped the power play. I mean, just from a logistics standpoint, from a number standpoint, analytically, the power play got better. You know, and this was a situation, I remember talking to Kevin Hayes when Chief got fired. He said, listen, Joe, if we get 6, 7, 8 more power play goals, that's a difference of 4 more wins. And then we're in a completely different spot. And he wasn't wrong, because that's exactly what happened when Drew Bannister came on board. The power play ratcheted it up there a little bit, and they started to win a few more games. You know, and I think that Bannister, I think he just simplified things. You know, I think putting Jake Neighbors in front of the net, putting Oscar Sundquist in front of the net on that power play, and just having more of a simple approach, throwing pucks there, and they got a lot of fortunate bounces down the stretch of that season, and the power play certainly improved. I think Drew has done a wonderful job for himself. I mean, this was a team, if you remember, for the last 2 years before Drew Bannister took over, they were just flirting with 500. They were 2 below 500, then they were 2 above. Then all of a sudden they'd be 3 above, and they would fall back down. We couldn't get over that 3-game above 500 threshold for the last 2 seasons. It actually took the 13th try when they were 3 games above 500 to eventually get to 4 games above 500, and all happened under Drew Bannister. And, of course, we all see how the Blues end up finishing the season well above 500. So, to me, I think there were some massive steps for him. Is he going to be the head coach next year? I don't know, but I promise you one thing. He will be in the National Hockey League somewhere. He is in a position where he would be an amazing assistant coach in the National Hockey League. I think his years of the American Hockey League are over, because he came in with so much poise, just a wonderful presence. Always thanked the media when he came in and when he exited. The players loved him. He had a very stoic approach on the bench. I think players respected him. So I think he's going to be coaching this league a very long time.
Jordan Kyrou, Joey, had an interesting season. He was kind of snake-bitten at the beginning and then finished with a flurry of goals to an extent. So how would you look at his season and the way that things played out for him?
I think when you look at it at the end of the day, Dan, the points were there, right? I mean, at the beginning of the year, if you said, hey, Jordan Kyrou is going to get 70-plus points, you're like, perfect. You'll take that year. I mean, 80's pushing it. 80 in an ideal world, yes, but he's still very young. Right, he's still got a long time to go on this contract he's under. So I think that most people, if you look at it in a bird's eye view of the whole season, you look at his point production, obviously his plus minus improved quite a bit too. You would say, okay, I would take that year. But if you break it down, you know, not to get too nitpicky here, but I think one thing about Kyrou's game, you would like to see more balance. You'd like to see it more evened out. You know, you mentioned the last 10 to 12 games. Yes, he went on a heater. He went on a heater against, you know, some Ducks teams and some Sharks teams and some Blackhawks teams and in a meaningless game down the stretch, a couple of them. You know, and you're happy with that. But I think that for Kyrou, on some of those stretches, he's got to figure out a way, and this is part of growth, right? It's a way to minimize those valleys. You know, Ryan O'Reilly, I'll never forget a conversation I had with him, because he was Mr. Consistent when he was playing for the St. Louis Blues, and still is for that matter. And we just had a really wonderful conversation. We're on the way out to Nashville when he was part of the Blues, actually. And he talked to me about the difference between great players in this league and the elite players. And the biggest difference, he said, if you really look at their seasons, when they have a bad game, which they all do, I mean, it's not a perfect game. It's a fast game, and things kind of go out the window pretty quickly. But when the elite have bad games, they figure out a way to get up that mountain very quickly. They don't allow those valleys to last too long. You know, you see players, you know, they go on these 5, 6, 7 game droughts, and you don't notice them. And then all of a sudden they go on like on a 10, 12 game heater, right? When you go on those heaters, that's to be expected. That's why you're being paid that money, right? But when you play 8 great games and then you fall off and have a bad game in Ottawa, for example, if you have a back-to-back against the Rangers the very next night, how quickly do you get back to your game? And I think for Kyrou, as a part of his growth moving forward, they would like to see those valleys that he drops into. You want to shorten those valleys. You can't stay in the valley that long if you're going to be an elite player in this league. And I think that that's certainly the biggest area for him that needs to be shown some growth.
Hey, Joey, one last thing before we let you go, and congratulations to your daughter for playing in Philadelphia this weekend. When you were 5 years old, Jaromir Jagr played his first pro hockey game with the Pittsburgh Penguins. You grew up, you graduated from CBC, you went to Northeastern, you had an NHL career, and here we are, you're 6 years into a broadcasting career, and Jaromir Jagr is still playing pro hockey. He played in the Czech League at the age of 52 last night.
I can't. I really. It was hard enough. It was hard enough when I played against him. He was a part of actually the Philadelphia Flyers, where I'm at right now. When I came into the league, he was a part of the Flyers, and I remember just thinking, like, oh, I can't wait to get a lick on this guy. Tony Granato, my assistant coach, was like, if you catch him with his head down, like, he's the guy you target. And Tony was smart because I just got called up, and he knew that was the kind of game I played. He was coming around the corner. I'll never forget it, Randy, as long as I live. We're in Philadelphia. It was one of the, I think it was game one or team two of that playoff series. And I caught him with his head down, and I had so much steam. I was going so fast, and he was flat-footed. I'm like, I am going to tune this guy up. I still remember the feeling like, oh, my God, this is going to explode, and the fans are going to lose it. I made contact with Jaromir Jagr. It was like I hit a concrete column. I went flying back, I would say about 4 or 5 feet. He didn't budge. He still had the puck, and I'm pretty sure he made like a primary assist on the goal right behind me. I mean, it was completely embarrassing. And that's what people don't realize about Jaromir Jagr. As good as he was, as skilled as he was elite as elite gets. But, man, he was solid. You just couldn't bump him off the puck. So for him to be playing this age, yeah, it's crazy. But at the same time, for how solid of a player he was and how strong he was on his skates, you don't really need to move that fast if you're that solid. It's like Pat Maroon on steroids. I mean, that's how big this guy is. So all the kudos to him. I don't think mentally or emotionally or physically at any level I could end up keep playing this age. But you gotta respect the fact he's still doing it.
Amazing. Joey, have a great weekend. Have a great summer. Thanks so much for joining us every Friday. We appreciate it. There's going to be a time during the summer where I'm just going to send you a text and say, hey, can you come on? And I'm going to force you to give us 15 minutes because you're great.
Hey, you do that any Friday, every Friday. I love talking to you guys. I love your guys' show and the way you bring it to the people every day. And it's always a pleasure. And you guys have a wonderful summer. And please don't ever be afraid to bother me. I love small talking and hot stoving with you all.
Love it. Thanks, Joey. See you later.
Thank you, guys.